You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you, and welcome in to another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and our Coach's Corner program each and every Saturday morning is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Brandon 360, Hy-Vee, Iowa Barbecue Company, Ameriprise Financial, True Health Chiropractic, and Wilchin Brothers Construction. Well, week 7 of the high school football season has come and gone, and we've got a few coaches to chat with about that. We're first going to get Lamar's community head coach, Ken Vigdahl, on the program. The Bulldogs had a tough go against the number 2 team in the state last night and took a 35-7 loss to that number 2 team. That'd be Sergeant Bluff Luton. And so the Bulldogs are now tied for second in the district with Fort Dodge coming up next week. And, of course, they'll play the Fort Dodge Dodgers for that second-place spot, and that'll be our contest here on KLEM. That's coming up for Lamar's. The Bulldogs, though, still in a good spot to make the playoffs. Just got to see how things go next week. After that, we're going to have a Galen Catholic head coach, Jeremy Schindler, joining us. His Jays defeated South O'Brien 42-7 last night in a dominant rushing performance. Can't wait to talk with Coach Schindler all about that. And then we're going to wrap up the program with MMCRU head football coach Kyle Oswald. His team locked up a district championship last night in a very impressive 14-7 win over West Sioux. And we got to chat all about that. It's the first time the Royals have ever won a district championship as MMCRU, and the first one for either school since that great 2015 state championship run that Marcus Merritt and Cleghorn went on in 8-man 10 years ago now at this point. So congratulations to Coach Oswald and the Royals on that accomplishment. We'll chat with him coming up here in this show later on in the hour. The rest of the scores from around the area yesterday was 9th-ranked Kingsley Pearson losing a district championship game at 7th-ranked Grettinger Terrell Ruthven Ayrshire. The Titans get the Panthers 62-46. Remsen St. Mary's did not play last night, but they are credited with a forfeit victory over Siouxland Christian. Elsewhere around the area, Akron Westfield had a tough go against St. Albert 14-7. That puts the Westerners in a win and in scenario next week against Logan Magnolia. And in Class 1A District 1, it was Hinton beating Lawton Bronson for homecoming, a score of 34-14. So some good results around the area. And, of course, you can stay up to date with all of those scores and results from all the area districts. You can check those out on our website at KLEM1410.com. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. Ken Vigdahl is the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, and we'll get his thoughts on a tough matchup against Sergeant Bluff Luton last night and where the Bulldogs go from there with another tough test on the road against Fort Dodge coming up next week. Ken Vigdahl, the head coach of the Bulldogs, will join us when we come back on the KLEM Coaches Corner right here on KLEM Radio.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we are back with you once again on the KLEM Coach's Corner, right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and we are now joined by the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. A tough 35-7 loss to the number 2-ranked Sergeant Bluff Luton Warriors, and the Bulldogs now sit at 4-3 overall, 2-1 in the district. Coach, first of all, you knew it was going to be a tough test. We kind of talked about it leading up into the contest. What kind of things did you see just right from the get-go that suggested, hey, you know, this is really going to be a a game that we have to play almost perfect in?
Well, I just think they're up front, guys, both offensive and defensive. You know, they're really skilled and they're really talented there. And that's where we struggled a little bit. Obviously, we struggled moving the ball offensively. And then, you know, with that, the way they run their, you know, double wing offense and things like that, you know. So that was kind of, you know, an issue and things like that. But, you know, I give our kids credit. We came back. We scored towards the end of the game. And they had their varsity starters in it. Stuff. So we proved that we can do some things. We just didn't do enough of them last night.
Well, and also the fact, too, I would have to imagine that it took them until the second quarter to get on the board. You guys played a full quarter without them putting up any points. Was that a matter of kind of them being a little bit more methodical with how they were moving the football, or were there some good things defensively early on?
No, I think our defense, you know, the 35 points you see and you go, oh, your defense gave up 35 points, but we didn't really play complimentary football a lot last night. You know, we had some turnovers that the defense gave us. Offense didn't get anything on the board, went three and out, and we just can't do that early in the game. You know, they had a nice turnover. Like I said, we went three and out with it, and that's my fault. I need to be a better play caller to get the ball down the field and things like that. So, you know, I thought our defense really early on played a tough football game. And then kind of in that second quarter, about midway through, it kind of broke loose and they were able to score 21, you know, in the second quarter. And I think some of that was a couple of mental mistakes, a couple physical mistakes, and, you know, both offense and defense.
Mm-hmm. And those turnovers were big, too. You guys were able to force two fumbles there in the contest. Talk about those. What'd you see in them, and what did it take to, you know, make plays on the ball carrier?
Well, I think that was a big, you know, the first one was a punt return where, you know, he didn't field it cleanly and we were able to get it. And I just thought our kids did a good job last night of really trying to strip the ball, get after the ball. I thought our special teams played really well last night. We had really good punt coverage. We had really good kickoff coverage. And so that was a big part of, you know, being able to keep them have to go 80 yards for a touchdown.
Well, and the stripping of the football, too, was very important because we know Sergeant Bluff likes to run the ball. They've been doing that all season. How much of an emphasis was that in practice this week to say, hey, if we want an opportunity to change the game, we've got to make a play like that?
Well, I think the big thing we emphasize, you know, you have two backs and, you know, they have that Hardy kid that's, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", 210, 15 pounds, you know, running the ball. So the big emphasis was tackling low on the week because he's a big kid. Their fullback, you know, he's a hard runner. And their other wing is another hard runner. So really the emphasis was put your head on the, or put your shoulder pad on his leg and, you know, bring him down from there. And the stripping of the ball was just an extra bonus.
Mm-hmm. Ken Vigdahl's with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, following a 35-7 loss to Sergeant Bluff Luton. As they were starting to score and doing all of those things, you mentioned the battle down in the trenches, but when it comes to the way they ran the football, with whether it was the Hardy kid or some of their other backs, what makes them really tough to bring down and tough to contend with when they start going on these long, sustained drives?
Well, I just think Justin knows his offense. I mean, he ran it quite a few years ago, then he went to something different, and now he's brought that back the last 2-3 years. And so I think he's really good coach at what they do. And what they do is they're going to run sweep, counter, quarterback. And so, you know, you try to take care of the sweep. So you try to add one more to the sweep side to try to slow that down. And then they run the counter. And so then, okay, your guy stays home and all is good. So you're taking care of the sweep. You're taking care of the counter. And then they run their quarterback, which, okay, now we have to have people in the middle. So it's a really effective offense for them. They do a good job of coaching it. And, you know, they've got some really talented kids to go along with all that. And that's why they're number two in the state.
Mm-hmm. Offensively, I'm looking over some of the numbers you have. And, you know, we've gotten used to Jamie being a pretty efficient passer, completing 50 to 60% of his passes. That wasn't the case last night. What can you kind of attribute? Why was, I guess, what makes Sergeant Bluff a tough team to throw against?
Well, I think the big thing they do is they try to add one more to your site. So let's say you're in trips, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to add four to your three, and so then you're back on the backside. But all of that has to happen, and when you go two by two, they try to go three over two. So they've always got an extra guy. And the reason they can do that is their interior four, their three down linemen who they love to slant and angle and play all kinds of games up there, and their middle linebacker is really, really good. You know, they take care of the run game, so they can afford to do those things. And that's what they do, and they've been successful at it. And, you know, they shut out Fort Dodge last week. So, you know, we knew we were going to be in for a tough task. We would have hoped to, you know, put maybe one or two more on the board, but that wasn't possible.
And you mentioned the running game there. How tough is it to pick up some of the things they like to do, the games they play, and you know, be able to try and create some semblance of a running lane for your guys?
Yeah, we were able to run counter really well. I thought Andrew Grant had a nice night running the ball. He had, I think, 10 carries for over 70 yards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought our counter game was well. Our inside zone would go at times, but, you know, just like I talked about a few minutes ago, you know, they're going to line up and shade you one way and then slant back the other way. And so that's just hard on an offensive lineman. You know, you try to simulate that in practice and things like that, but obviously, you know, you can't do it as fast, as physical as what they did, you know, during the game.
Yeah, Ken Vigdahl is the head coach of Lamar's Community Football on the Coach's Corner following a tough loss to Sergeant Bluff Luton last night. It was 21-0 at halftime. What was kind of the message to your guys in the locker room, and how do you think you responded when things, you know, were looking bleak and you still were able to get points on the board, like you said, in the second half and slow them down at least, you know, comparatively speaking?
Well, the big thing was just go play hard. I mean, it's 21-0. Every play has to be the hardest play that you can play, and do the right thing, do the little things correctly, all those things we've talked about all year. And you know what? It's 21-0. If you only focus on the score and trying to get back into it, you know, chances are you're never going to do it. But, you know, we thought, okay, here we go. We're 21 down. Can we close the gap? We came out, we get a fumble recovery right away on a kickoff. And, you know, once again, we weren't able to get it down the field and get in that scoring range and things like that. But I just thought our kids, you know, maybe just relaxed enough just to play hard and physical, read your keys. Not for defensive line, don't go running upfield after the quarterback, you know, all those things that we talk about all year and kind of a big, you know, obviously it was a really big game for both teams, and now we know our measuring stick, and, you know, you think about that a little bit and you think, okay, we played SBL last night, but the thing that you brought up, the first thing you said was they're still the number rated two team in the state.
Yeah.
So we just played the number two team in the state. That's our measuring stick, and, you know, there's games where throughout the time I've been here is we've had, you know, wins where it's for the program and it, you know, raises the program up, and that was just one of them that we kind of wanted to get last night to say, okay, here we are. We can compete with the very top of the state.
Ken Vigdahl with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. If we talk about the scoring play, Joaquin Hernandez finds the end zone there in that fourth quarter to at least to break the shutout on the scoreboard. What was finally clicking for you guys offensively after putting all this work in, after you know, trying to figure out what you can do against a Warrior defense? What finally came together for that to be a possibility?
Well, it was the connection with Jamie and Tyson, the play before that, because what they were doing was they were taking that Hardy kid and they were putting him to the wide side of the field. And so he consumes a lot of the, you know, we love slants. If you watch us on film, we love slants. And so I thought what Jamie and Tyson did the play before that was really good, because instead of getting it to Tyson right away where the Hardy kid would step into the passing lane, he let him bypass him and get him into the next window. And then Tyson caught it and broke about four or five tackles. And then, you know, he got it down to like the one or whatever, and we ran our hurry up inside zone, you know, our two by two, and scored with Joaquin. So I think the play before kind of set that up, and it was kind of a hurry up like we do once we get a big play, and Joaquin was able to get in the end zone.
On the defensive side, a couple of guys stood out to me. you know, Tegan Bogue and Ephraim Kabongo led you defensively. I feel like that can be kind of a double-edged sword, Coach, because, you know, it's nice that they're making plays in the open field, but with a team that's running the football, you really don't want a lot of your guys in the secondary making tackles, because that ends up, sometimes at least, suggesting that they're getting 5, 6, 7 yards a carry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those are both, they're fast, they're physical kids, and they run downhill extremely hard, but when you're 8, 9 yards deep and you hit the running back, he's probably picked up at least 3 or 4 by the time you make contact. And, you know, I thought their backs ran really hard last night, and so they would get that extra 1 or 2 yards. But, yeah, you're exactly right. When your safeties and your outside linebackers are making or leading the team in tackles, you know, that's not always a good sign, because, just like you said, they're already at 4 yards by the time contact occurs.
Well, it was a tough game, but, you know, the nice thing is, Coach, I'm sure this was something you tried to reassure the guys of in the locker room. This, you're not at the point yet where a loss like this dooms your season. It's only the first loss of district play. You know, how did you try and, you know, keep the guys okay? Yeah, it's tough that you lost, but hey, you know, this can only be one. We try and motivate them again for, you know, the upcoming games.
I said they had a day. Mm-hmm. You have a day to be mad. You have a day to be upset. You have a day to be disappointed, da-da-da, whatever the case may be, however you're feeling, you have a day. Sunday, when you wake up and you come to Sunday supper and watch film, you have to have a positive attitude. We're going to have a positive attitude on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, we're going to Fort Dodge, and that's really our pinpoint of the week right there, because whoever wins that game is obviously going to win second place in the district, which is an automatic bid in 4A. So, you know, that's where all our energy is going to focus towards once we make any corrections that we need to make with offense and defense or special teams with Sergeant Bluff. It's on to Fort Dodge, and that's all our focus is going to be on from Monday on.
It's early, obviously, and you're just coming off the loss to Sergeant Bluff Luton, but there have been some headlines with Fort Dodge throughout the last few weeks, and one of them wears number one in Drayshawn Ross. He's been running the football incredibly well for them. Just early on, what stands out about him and kind of the things you'll have to be prepared for if you are to come away with a win and potentially that second spot in the district?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, you would give a guy who's the number one rated heavyweight in the nation for wrestling, you would probably give him the ball a few times, you know what I mean? So that's no secret of anybody, and they've been doing that, you know, all year and stuff. And so it's one of those things that, you know what, it's like almost any running back. If you make them stutter their feet before they get going and get to the hole, I mean, we're going to have great success. If we let him get 4 or 5 yards down the field before we decide to tackle him, we're probably going to be in some trouble. You know what I mean? So, but once again, there's no secret who's getting it, because when he lines up in Wildcat or Shotgun, whatever you want to call it, he's going to get the ball, and he's probably going to keep the ball. So, you know, the good thing about it is they're not running inside counter with him. They're not running sweep with him like SBL. It's a downhill run, and here we go.
Yeah, who would have thought a kid who's going to Oklahoma State to wrestle would be a really good football player as well? That's shocking to everybody.
Kidding.
But, well, that'll be a great matchup. We're looking forward to seeing how you guys respond to a loss. And we'll, of course, have the game on KLEM. So, Coach, I'm looking forward to catching up with you again later this upcoming week. Best of luck as you get ready for the Dodgers.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. He is Ken Vigdahl, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll take a break, and Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic, will join us coming up next on the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, welcome back to the KLEM Coach's Corner here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and it's time now to chat a little Galen Catholic football with the head coach of the Jays. That's Coach Jeremy Schindler. Well, what a win it was last night as Galen Catholic helped out their playoff hopes. Hasn't totally secured it yet, but certainly took a nice step in potentially getting there after a 42-7 victory over South O'Brien. And the Jays now sit at 3-2 in the district. And they did so, boy, in dominating fashion, Coach. I guess the first question I have is, at what point in the game did you kind of think, hey, you know, we're going to be able to run the football with a lot of success here tonight?
I think it was probably the first drive. Yeah. You know, our offensive line, we knew that was probably going to be our big advantage. Our offensive line against their defensive front, just in terms of physicality and size, we knew we had them overmatched. And then we had a decent game plan going in with Wyatt and Easton and them carrying the ball. And we actually thought we'd be in the spread a little bit more and just running from the spread. But once we got into that, you know, little I formation pistol set, when that started working, it was like, well, why go away from it?
Yeah, at a certain point, I think I even said it too. I was like, well, if it ain't broke, I mean, why fix it? Because Wyatt could start running 30, 40, 20, 15 yards a pop. I mean, it was just it was very, I'm sure for you as a former offensive lineman, watching your guys do work like that was really exciting on the sideline.
Yeah, it was. Those guys up front had an outstanding game. You know, they got off the ball, you know, and what they did this game that we haven't necessarily done is, you know, we executed the blocking scheme really, really well. Mm-hmm. Even when they started to do little games with their ends and their outside linebackers, maybe slanting their defensive end in and looping their outside backer around, our guys, whether they were pulling or whether it was just straight zone blocking, they were able to see that and then react to it and make sure they covered the right person up. So whether that's pinning him inside and then Wyatt can go out and around, or, you know, kicking out that outside linebacker. Whatever it took, those guys did a really good job of not only getting off the ball hard and playing really physical and blocking till the whistle, but they executed the blocks just like they're supposed to. And you know, another kid, Easton Spangler, had a great game blocking.
Yep.
I thought he, when we went into that I formation set, he had an outstanding job blocking. He did a really good job of either reading what the DN does. Is he going to kick him out or is he going to seal him in? And then Wyatt did a really good job just kind of cutting off of that block.
Well, I certainly want to keep talking about the positives, but I guess if we have to kind of get at least one negative out of the way from last night, let's do it now. And it came on the second play of the game, that big 66-yard touchdown pass South O'Brien had. Thankfully, that was their only score of the game. But just, you know, what kind of happened on that play? Was it a defensive breakdown? Just what did you see that you were able to adjust and approach as the game went along?
That kid is just fast. And, you know, we thought we could play him in some man coverage. And, you know, Wyatt got a decent jam on him, but wasn't really – I mean, he came over to the sideline and Coach Ellenzone asked him, he's like, can you run with that kid? And Wyatt's like, no way, man. That kid's way too fast. So Coach Ellenzone did a really good job of making the adjustment, and we started playing a little more zone and mixing it up, whether who had the deep coverage. But then that allowed our guys to be a little more physical with those wide receivers at the line of scrimmage and at least get a jam on them. And that gave our defensive line a little time to, you know, maybe get a little more pressure on them and have help over top with our deep coverage. So really good adjustment by Coach Allen. And that kid just – the quarterback made a great throw, and that kid made a great play. I mean, he's fast. Yep. I can tell you this, he's a lot faster in person than he is on film. So credit to them. They came out, and we told the guys, you know, they definitely think they can win this game. And you know, this is one of the games that they have marked on their schedule as, hey, we got a shot to win this game against Galen. Galen lost a lot of players from last year. And so they give credit to South O'Brien. They came out and executed really well on that first drive.
Jeremy Schindler again with us, the head coach of Galen Catholic football. 42-7 winner over South O'Brien last night. And, of course, you did make those adjustments defensively, and you did so well because they did not score again and really didn't have a whole lot of success. One of the big things you did defensively, I don't have the exact number, but I know their running total was not high, or maybe around 20 total yards. Again, kind of like the HMS game, you guys dominated the run game. What kind of things did you do to make sure that that aspect of their offense was virtually a non-factor?
Yeah, I mean, again, it starts up front with those four down linemen up front. They did a really good job of playing in their gap and making sure that they weren't getting driven back. And then our two inside linebackers, Kane Kearns and Easton Spangler, had pretty good nights filling run holes. I thought those guys did a good job of reading their keys. When they saw that it was run, got up into the line of scrimmage and filled the holes nicely. So, you know, really those starts with those guys up front eating up blocks and then linebackers making tackles. So really good job by that front six.
Yeah, and they certainly ate up tackles. And then they were generating some pressure as well as the game went along. I know they have a lot of quick-hitting kind of screen and short patterns that were – kind of tough to record sacks on, just generally speaking. But I feel like the pressure then would turn into, the one turnover you got with Drake Knipe's interception. Talk about that play. What did you see, and how was he able to make such a good play on the ball from, you know, behind his receiver there?
I didn't really see it. I was looking at the iPad on what we had just done on offense, but I think our D-line did do a good job of as the game went on, I thought the pressure got a little better. Mm-hmm. And I thought our defensive line did a good job of getting their hands up too. So, you know, that may have forced a couple bad throws. Drake just did a really good job there of being in the right spot, reading the quarterback size. You know, he kind of plays that free safety spot for us. And like Coach said, you know, Coach teaches him when the quarterback opens up a certain way, you got to turn your butt to that way and continue to pedal that way. And Drake did a really good job. Quarterback looked to the right, and he starts to backpedal to the right, kind of weave over there. And then when the ball was in the air, again, just going and making a play. And our guys have done a lot better job of that over the past few weeks. That we've been much more sound in our coverage, and then just going to play the ball in the air has been much better.
Well, and I think the fact that it happened twice last night with Wyatt adding an interception in there as well, that just goes to show that, hey, you know, we you're working hard, you're trying to make plays on the ball, like you said, and it's got to be nice to see the guys, you know, respond and make plays like Wyatt did as well.
Absolutely. You know, that was another one I didn't really get to see. I had my head in the iPad or was talking to a kid about something else, and you know, Wyatt, again, in the right spot. I think we were playing, he was in the short coverage there, so he was in the flats, and again, he just did a really good job of hitting the receiver as he goes past and passing him off to the deep coverage guy, and then he sat on the play and was able to, you know, get his arms underneath it and get us another possession, which anytime we can turn the ball over, turn the other team over, it just gives us another possession, a big advantage, and just really good job by the defense there.
Jeremy Schindler again with us. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football following a 42-7 win over South O'Brien. Of course, we've given a lot of credit in the running game to the offensive line, understandably so, of course. But at a certain point, someone's got to run the football as well. And Wyatt certainly did that to the tune of 312 yards and four touchdowns. Coach, I don't know about you, but as I was watching the game, and watching the way Wyatt was running the football, it was almost like he was wearing number 3. I mean, it looked like Cale Pearson. It looked like the guys you've had the last few years. What stood out most about how Wyatt was able to run the football for you?
Yeah, first and foremost, just really proud of Wyatt. I mean, the kid has gotten so much better as the year has gone on, and that's what you see a lot of times with backs. As they get more reps, they just get more comfortable, And there's a run that sticks out in my head, and it's not even one of his big runs, but it just shows his growth as a running back. I think it was like a little 6-yard carry. Wasn't anything fancy, but he did a great job. The play was a little slow to develop, but he stayed behind. He had a wall of three big offensive linemen, and he just stayed behind them. And he waited patiently for a crack. And then he squeezed through the crack and fell forward for about 6 yards. Nothing crazy. But in the past, Wyatt would have tried to make something happen. He would have tried to bounce that outside or cut back to the inside and kind of abandon his blocking. He doesn't do that anymore. He's gotten so good at just kind of staying behind. We tell him, stay behind friendly colors. Stay behind the color jersey that you're wearing. Because if you have offensive linemen or blockers in between you and defenders, they ain't going to tackle you. And then when you see a crease, hit it. He's also gotten more explosive this year. You know, credit the weight room, the work he's doing in the weight room as the season's gone on. I think he's gotten a little faster. Mm-hmm. He's starting to make some of those big runs that he wasn't making in the beginning of the year because he's added a little speed and a little strength. So he's just worked really, really hard, and he's a kid who really deserved a night like that. So really, really proud of him.
Yeah, he had a really great night for you running the football. And it wasn't just him, too. Obviously, he got the bulk of the carries. But when you started running the football a little bit more with Easton Spangler, boy, I don't know if it was whether or not South O'Brien was kind of sick of Wyatt running the football. But, boy, Easton was able to have a ton of success. I think 7 yards a carry, roughly so, and a touchdown there for Spangler. What did he add to the game once he got involved running the football?
Yeah, you know, I kind of challenged Easton this week. I'm like, hey, man, I need you to play more physical. And I think first and foremost it started with his blocking, and he did an outstanding job blocking. And then when you block hard like that for me, I'm going to try and get you the ball. Like, I tell him that all the time. When you block hard for me, I will try and get you the football. And, you know, credit to Easton. He had the fumble early, but he bounced back mentally. And I just told him, stay with it. Keep pounding the feet. Keep running low. You're going to crack one. You're going to crack one. And, you know, come in that fourth quarter, he gets the big, I don't know, 30-some yard touchdown run that, you know, kind of ended the scoring for us, and just did a really good job of keep working, running with lower pad level, and really just driving his feet. And you know, he's doing a better job of seeing. Running from the fullback spot is a little bit different than running from the running back spot. And so he has to be even more patient because he's already closer to the line. And so he's doing a really good job of seeing those cutbacks, seeing those little gaps, those creases, and he's starting to hit those with increased regularity. So, again, he had a really good game running the ball.
And, you know, you were able to cap things off with Jack Roberts keeping a little bootleg off the right side. Coach, it was so funny watching that play. You know, you guys had been running your little counter stuff where you fake it to Easton and you run it with Wyatt, and you'd been giving it to Easton, you've been giving it to Wyatt, you've been doing all these things, and then Jack breaks out the fake to both and just bootlegs off the right side. He might have been able to walk in. I mean, there were a couple of guys on the edge that were blocked, but boy, that had to be really, really fun for him to run the football like that and to be able to score on the ground as well.
Yeah, Coach Ellenzone and I have been coaching together for too long because he said to me right before that play, he says, "You're going to call the boot on first down?" And I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking." So we knew exact because their defensive ends were starting to just shoot in and not really respect any of our bootleg game. And I thought, you know, if you're going to do that, we're going to take what you give us. And Jack did a really good job. We always tell Jack, your first option is to run. If there's green grass, you take it. I don't care if it's 5, 10, 20 yards. Take the green grass. Jack comes out of that, and he is downhill. He had the intention of, I'm going to run this right away. And then if a defender shows up in your face, then you can pull up and throw that little pass. But he came out of that bootleg with some speed, with some aggression, got downhill. Again, Easton Spangler threw a great block on that play, sealed the outside linebacker or safety. I can't remember who it was, but he sealed off one of their players, drove him back inside. I think we had another receiver blocking downfield. I don't know if it was Grant Arns or Landon Knipe. I think they both threw blocks, actually. Yep. Again, and then Jack obviously just, you know, showing a little bit of that track speed and running with a little aggression, getting downhill and getting in the end zone. So really good job by everybody on that play.
Yeah, that was a great way to cap off a great night. And the other part of that game, too, that we haven't been able to see as consistently, because you guys have been in either competitive games or games in which you've needed to come back, is the fact that we've been able to see second stringers now coming in for you against South O'Brien. I think you guys were just about able to empty the bench entirely, at least got pretty close to it anyway. Those scout guys, those guys that play for you, I know we've talked about this before, but it's got to be nice to get them a little bit of a reward there and you know, be able to play under the Friday night lights in a very important game for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those guys work really hard, and there's some of them that play a lot on special teams for us. You know, a kid like Carson Checker, he does a really good job on special teams for us, made a huge tackle on one of their kickoff returns, and just was able to bring the kid down single-handedly in the open field. So he does a great job. There's lots of guys, Chase Christoffel. I can go up and down the list, but it was really nice. Those guys had to, you know, they had some injuries as a JV team earlier in the season, and they lost the game. They lost two games, I think. We had to cancel two games, which, you know, it's just always a bummer when you have to do that. But to be able to get them kind of at least an extra half of a quarter on a Friday night, those are even more fun than what you get to play on Monday nights, because this is, like you said, it's under the lights. It's Friday night. It's a big game for us. And so, you know, and then those guys came in, and they had a little success running the ball too, and they got a stop on defense. So those guys really came in and played with energy, and they worked so hard all week. I mean, our scout guys, our JV, they work so hard all week. And so to be able to kind of reward them, and it's really cool to see the varsity guys, you know, getting excited for them on the sideline, because, you know, they realize how much work those young guys put in.
Yeah, and it's certainly not a knock on the guys who were on the sideline there earlier in the game, but I think your sideline was louder in the final 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter than they were for some of those big plays from Wyatt Coons. But yeah, really, really great to see everybody get in there, and a big win for you guys, and it sets up now a regular season finale at home against West Sioux. I know some of your playoff hopes technically are not in your hands necessarily, but in a way they are. If you can pick up a victory against West Sioux, boy, that would guarantee yourselves a spot in the playoffs. How are you guys approaching this week and, you know, playing a football team that will be hungry for a win, especially after their loss last night to MMCRU?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is you win and you're in. Mm-hmm. And if you win, it could potentially force a three-way tie for second place.
Right.
And so then it comes down to some point differential. So second place is still not out of the question. And we told the guys last night, so we got to really lock in and focus. It's South O'Brien does a lot of similar things that West Sioux does. Now, obviously, West Sioux does them from the spread in a more efficient manner. They have, you know, been doing it for longer, so and they just have some better players. But it was kind of a good little tune-up for us to understand, all right, well, you know, South O'Brien throws a lot of screens, West Sioux throws a lot of screens. West Sioux throws a lot of deep balls, South O'Brien threw a lot of deep balls. So really good tune-up for us there to just kind of see it and understand, okay, this is maybe where we need to get a little better. And we just got to have another great week of preparation. I've been really, really pleased. I've asked the guys to really lock in and just focus. And the last 2 weeks of practice, you can even go back farther than that. I know it didn't show up on the Friday nights before, but the last 2 weeks of practice have been outstanding. We've really gotten, I think, better in some crucial areas as a team. And so we have to have another great week of preparation. We got to get in there. We got to watch film. We got to do all those little things. And then you just got to go out and put that on display on Friday night. That's what I challenged them to do in the second half last night. I said, you know, we've been in a situation before where we're up at halftime. Go out and finish this. And I was really pleased with how they did that last night.
Well, they certainly did. And it was a great win, 42-7 over South O'Brien. Looking forward to seeing how you do against West Sioux coming up this week. We'll let you go. Get ready for that game. Appreciate your time. And best of luck in the regular season finale.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That is Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. Take a break, and we'll chat with the district champion, MMCRU head football coach, Kyle Oswald, coming up next here on KLEM.
Shop and save at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. They're open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for your convenience. You can start your day with a hot breakfast and fresh donuts in their dining room. Then enjoy a shopping experience that will meet all your needs for the days or weeks to come. Explore the meat market, the floral department, or the pharmacy. For whatever you need, discover red-hot deals at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. And also check out additional daily specials on Facebook.
Are you craving mouth-watering barbecue? Head on over to Iowa Barbecue Company on Plymouth Street in Lamar's. They've got tender ribs, juicy chicken, succulent pork, and sausage smoked to perfection and served hot every Tuesday through Saturday. At Iowa Barbecue Company, you will get the freshest locally sourced meats and great sides such as house-made mac and cheese or coleslaw each and every day. The smoke is rolling every day to ensure you are getting some of the area's best quality and freshest queue around. Get to Iowa Barbecue Company today.
Ameriprise Financial, with Mike Ruland, Ross Ruland, and Sam Van Wettering, are proud of our local athletes. Talk with Mike, Ross, or Sam about how you can set up and reach your financial goals today and tomorrow.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and it is my pleasure to be joined now by the head coach of the number one ranked MMCRU football team. It's Coach Kyle Oswald. His team a 14-7 winner over West Sioux last night. And that win at least guarantees a share of the district championship, and they'll go for that title outright coming up next week for the regular season finale. First is the MMCRU Royals. Coach, first of all, we've talked about it, your theme all season for such a time as this. It certainly was your time to get the job done here against West Sioux. Just what are some of the emotions after the game went final for you and your team?
I mean, obviously proud of these guys and what they were able to accomplish. Super thankful. How blessed we are. God has blessed us very greatly, and we've been able to enjoy that. And what I guess my message is now is don't let this be your on top, let it be your foundation to build on.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly have a lot to go from here. And boy, first of all, just talk about, you know, for your guys, you've been fortunate to be able to beat teams pretty convincingly most of the year. At least the final score ends up being a pretty convincing margin of victory. But this was a one-score game. Just how did you guys respond to the challenge of being in a very close ball game where anything could change at a moment's notice?
I'm just going to give credit to the tenacity of our kids. They continued to battle. And honestly, I got to give that to West Sioux, too. They are a great football team, one that I don't want to see again until indoors, if at all possible. So that, you know, I don't want to count any chickens for their hats kind of thing, for sure. We're not saying we're there yet, for sure. But I don't want to see them in playoffs if we can help it. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, and like you said, if it has to be there, it could be at the Dome. And yeah, hopefully the state does the right thing if it comes down to that. And boy, it started for you right away. First play, Brayson Mulder, 75-yard touchdown. You know, what was it about the play? What worked that allowed him to, you know, kind of break free and put you guys up early?
Coach Ude wanted to have an attitude play to start out the game, and we had a great couple blocks. And honestly, it's Brayson's really his second game back from injury from week two, and he was able to bust one. So that was good. We were thankful for that.
And he had a great day for you rushing as well. But, boy, they come back and they find a score right away on that next drive. What did you have to do, okay, after they scored there in that first quarter to try and settle the guys down defensively and bounce back from it, I guess?
I don't know. I guess I'm just going to turn that over to trust in my coaching staff. They did a phenomenal job of getting them ready and keeping them on the straight and narrow, calling the right plays, and our kids lifted each other up. They fought for each other, and they're fortunate enough to come out on top.
Kyle Oswald is the head coach of MMCRU football after a big victory over West Sioux, 14-7 last night, and joining us on the Coach's Corner. It was tied there for quite a while, and then you guys were able to break off a kind of a hook and ladder kind of play there for the touchdown in the second quarter. Walk me through that. It seemed like this was kind of one of your opportunities to really empty your playbook a little bit and you know put to test what you guys have been practicing a lot offensively.
Yeah, Coach, you did a great job having everything ready to go, play calling wise, and we took care of the ball pretty well. I know we had one interception tonight, but we were able to take care of the ball for the most part. There's a few things that we want to work with our quarterback on, when to throw it away or maybe when to go down, but he's a gamer. He's trying to make things happen, and you know, Brett Favre used to be the same way too, I guess, so things worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and like you've talked about with me before, you can't fault the guys for having that tenacity, that intensity, and that drive to win. It's one of the things that I'm sure, you know, it's very tough to instill in guys. And so the fact that they've got it and are ready to go, that makes things a little bit easier for you and your coaching staff, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And our seniors have really stepped up to the challenge of being senior leaders and what that means. And they don't always succeed at it, but they're human beings and they're 18-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give them that grace there, but they are finding out what it means to be the leaders of this football squad. And hopefully we can support them in that and help them to continue to grow as young men.
It was 14-7 at the half. What were some of the, if there were any, what were some adjustments that you had to make defensively, offensively? What things had to be better once you came out of the locker room?
Tackling. Mm-hmm. That was probably the biggest adjustment, if anything, is to just reemphasize our importance on making tackles. And I mean, our guys stepped up. We had our starting left tackle and defensive end go down the fourth play of the game. And so guys stepping up into roles, they did a great job.
Yeah. I know also defensively, if I heard it right, you guys were able to intercept 5 passes on defense. How were you guys able to do that? Because I know they've had such a great passing attack this year. What made you guys so good in the secondary and being able to make those plays?
I don't know. I don't know how that we got 5. I don't know. I know that we were fortunate in a couple of them, and most of them, though, our kids just make great plays. They've got some great athletes and whatnot, but so do we. And we've got some guys with some good speed, and they have honed their skills, and they've earned it. They keep earning it, and they need to keep earning it if they want to go where they want to go.
Well, and certainly sometimes all it takes is some good athletes, and you certainly do have that. Again, Kyle Oswald's with us, head coach of MMCRU football. I do want to ask there in that fourth quarter, that interception that you alluded to gave West Sioux the football, they did get a little bit of a drive going. I think they got across midfield at that point, if I remember correctly, and then you guys were able to shut them down from there. You've seen it now a few times this year, but talk about the fact that you guys – maybe given a bad hand in a certain moment and are trying to work out of it. And it seems like you guys have been answering the call a lot when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, what is the phrase we always say? Champions find a way to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And so they were able to find that tonight and rise to the occasion. And you know, our phrase is, for such a time as this, we've been blessed with an opportunity. So if we don't rise up, somebody else will.
Yep. Well, and it was certainly a great win for you guys. I've alluded to a couple of aspects of the game. I think the running game, obviously your ability to force turnovers and things like that. Was there another aspect of the game that might not show up on a stat sheet or may not even stick out on film, but something that you saw tonight that was just, you know, gosh, we really did this well and it proved to be a difference?
Picking ourselves up and just going to the next play. I mean, that's not a stat sheet thing, but that is definitely where we were able to earn the win tonight, is pick ourselves up when something bad happens and not let the wheels fall off.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the sign of a good playoff team and one that could contend here late in the season. Coaches, you talked about you've got one more regular season game coming up against HMS. And as you talked about earlier, you want this to be a foundation and not the peak. What has to happen after this game now to make sure that that is the case, that this is a foundation, not a peak, and that you guys can turn this this big win over a top five team into something more here the rest of the season?
Well, the aspect of, again, champions find a way, and they're not going to be given to it. Honestly, this is a great this game not only had playoff implications, but it felt like a playoff game. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things that, so now we've been able to be battle tested as far as that's concerned, but I'm hoping that injuries aren't as bad as they might appear originally, but day by day, we got to get better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully you do get better and better this week in practice and maybe put a nice bow on the regular season coming up next week against HMS. Coach, congrats on the win. Congrats on clinching a share of the district championship, and I'm sure we'll be chatting soon. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you much.
Absolutely. He is Kyle Oswald, head coach of MMCRU football, and we're back with more of the Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic Lamars. Dr. Jared Langle and his wife Sarah look forward to helping you on your journey to true health with a holistic approach to chiropractic care. Dr. Jared will address the root cause of your symptoms and guide you through mindful movement and proper nutrition. And discover the health benefits and relaxation through infrared sauna sessions. Discover True Health Chiropractic across from Four Brothers, Lamars.
Wilchin Brothers Construction in Lamars is the perfect contractor for any commercial remodel or new construction project. Call Wilchin Brothers in Lamars at 546-4135. You have big plans for your next build? You want a company that stays on budget and schedule while doing quality work? Call Wilchin Brothers General Contractor and Construction Management Services for peace of mind while awaiting your dream building.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we are back one final time on the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Our program has been brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Hy-Vee, Iowa Barbecue Company, Ameriprise Financial, True Health Chiropractic, and Wilchin Brothers Construction. Daniel Versteg with you once again. My thanks, as always, to our coaches for joining us, Ken Vigdahl, Jeremy Schindler, and Kyle Oswald. Great to chat with all of those gentlemen about their football teams. And Week 8 will be coming up next week. Some great games around the area. Of course, the one we'll have on KLEM has a lot of playoff implications tied to it, as it'll be Lamar's Community at Fort Dodge. Our coverage will start at 6:15 Friday night right here on KLEM. Galen Catholic hosts West Sioux. And, of course, as Coach Schindler says, hey, a victory, and you might be able to kind of mess around and force a three-way tie for second in the district. We'll see what ends up taking place in that contest. MMCRU, as we just chatted with Coach Kyle Oswald, they are at Hartley Melvin Sanborn next week and looking to try and put a bow on a perfect regular season. Big game down in Logan. Akron Westfield takes on Logan Magnolia. And we talk about games that have, well, you need to have this and this and this happen to kind of get into the playoffs. This one's really simple. The winner is going to get into the playoffs in Class A District 8. Akron Westfield and Logan Magnolia, they're currently tied for that fourth spot in the district. There's no real sense of a three-way tie for a couple of spots. It's win and in, and so a big game for Akron Westfield there coming up next week. Hinton winds down the regular season at home next week. They welcome in Alta Aurelia. Kingsley Pearson, this is a big win for the Panthers, or a big game for the Panthers. They host St. Edmund, and if I have it right, I believe a win would put KP in a spot to potentially host the first round of the playoffs as one of those second-place teams in their district. And then Remsen St. Mary's will conclude their regular season at home against North Iowa in non-district play. So that is what's coming up for our area football teams this week. We mentioned our broadcast for football is Lamar's at Fort Dodge. We also have our final regular season volleyball broadcast. Lamar's is at Bishop Heelan. And I want to make a note as well for volleyball for Galen Catholic. Rams and St. Mary's and Akron Westfield. The matchups that we told you Thursday night for their regional tournaments, those are inaccurate now as they've been changed by the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. So Galen Catholic, instead of hosting Akron Westfield in the first round, they will be at South O'Brien for a 7 o'clock first serve on Monday. Akron Westfield will now go to Rems and St. Mary's, and of course the Hawks will host the Westerners there in the first round of the playoffs. We've updated those on our schedules page. You can find that at KLEM1410.com. But again, the matchups that we told you Thursday for that region in particular, everything else is accurate, but they readjusted the matchups in that region. And so Galen Catholic will be at South O'Brien, and Akron Westfield will be at Rems and St. Mary's in the first round of the regional volleyball tournament, which gets started already on Monday, October 20th. Well, that's going to do it for another edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. For our coaches joining us, for all of us at KLEM Radio, I'm Daniel Versteeg. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner right here on KLEM Lamars.